The scripture reading for this morning will be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
One thing I like the most about Fort Bragg and being there and being airborne was the attitude that we can, that we will not fail, that if everyone else can't, we can. And I like that attitude. I like everyone to have that attitude. Some of us that served probably look back and you say, we still got it. Well, this morning I thought I still had it. I was laying on the couch, my back was hurting, sitting there watching the news, and I started to go get in the shower to get ready, and I started to roll off the couch, and it ain't that funny yet. We're going there. I got my hands on the floor. I said, I still got it. I put my feet on the back of the couch, and I started knocking out some push-ups. I looked at Wendy. I said, I still got it. I got about four or five out of them, and I quit. She says, is that all? I said, I go get ready for church. I can't sit here and do push-ups all day. I got to get ready to go to church. President Eisenhower received a letter from an 8-year-old. Kevin wrote this, after listening to the news about the Cold War, I'm worried about the people in the world. He said, I'm thinking it over. I have a plan. He said, you get all the leaders together who want war, put them in a ring and let them fight it out instead of involving all the people. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. This morning we honor our veterans and their families. So much sacrifice have been made over the many years for this country to have the very freedom that Brother Mickey prayed about this morning during his prayer. And it is scary. It is scary to look at the decline of our country and look at our leaders and look at the direction that we're going, looking and challenging about the freedoms that we have, understanding all the sacrifices that's been made over the years. And it seems that we are slipping, that we're slipping away from the country that we once wanted to be so bad, the country of fearing God and putting God first and serving God. But today I want us to think about the men and women who serve, the ones who love the flag, love our country, and love the freedom that they fought and bled and so many died for. World War II qualifies as perhaps the greatest war of all. In all, 61 countries was involved. 1.7 billion people. That is 3/4 of the population took part in that war. In terms of money, it has been put that more than $1 trillion, which makes it the most expensive war of all. In human cost and lives, it's estimated that 55 million is dead. 25 million of those were military, and 30 million was civilians. Some aspects of war is never right in our minds. But regardless of the war, we must support the people that go and defend us, defend the very rights that we have. Someone wrote, it is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who gives us freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, that's given us the freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is the veteran and not the politician who's given us the right to vote. It's the veteran who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag. And how true that is, and how soon many people forget about where the freedoms come from. This morning, for just a few minutes, as we honor and we think about this week being Veterans Week or Veterans Day this week, I think we all need to share the same love, the same dedication, the same attitude that so many veterans have. But we need to share that, and we need to show that in other ways, and we need to have that same love for Christ. The same love for the church. As veterans show this great country and the flag, we need to have that same love as we too, each one of us, are soldiers, hopefully soldiers of Christ. Number one, in the same way in the military, there is a chain of command. And when you go into basic training, you have to learn that chain of command. Matter of fact, you had better be ready at any given time to give the chain of command from your squad leader all the way up to the President of the United States. Because there's a good chance that the drill sergeant's going to ask you that when he's standing there in front of you. So we have to know who our commander is. And the same way we take chain of command in the military, we have to take that and we have to bring it into the religious world today, and so many have not. Who is the commander-in-chief? Who is it that we have to obey? You know, an Air Force major was promoted to a colonel. He got to his new office. The first morning that he was in his office, an airman knocked on the door. And the new promoted colonel, feeling the urge to show how important he was, he picked up his phone. He said, "General, thank you. I will pass this information on to the president when I speak to him this afternoon." "Yes, thank you, sir." And he hung up the phone. Then the colonel looked at the airman, just walked in and just barked at him as hard as he could. "And what do you want?" He said, "Nothing important. I just come to hook up your new telephone." You see, the new colonel wanted to be a little more important than he really was. Nobody was on the other end of the line. Have we ever known someone that wanted to be just a little more than what they really were? When we think about our commander and we think about Jesus, and we think about the love that he has for us, some people today want to have so much authority. They want to be able to point their finger and say, "We're going to do it this way and we're going to do it that way." And that's why, to be honest, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but to be honest with you, that's why it's so much trouble in the church today. It's so much trouble today when we think about churches, quote-unquote churches, throughout the whole world, is that too many people want to get their finger in what we need to be doing and how we ought to accept things or not accept things. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 that was read to us just a minute ago, "Thou therefore endure hardness." What does it say after that? It says, "As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangle himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Our commander is Jesus. The same way that our military, the same way that those of you that are veterans, we look back at our time in the military. We showed respect and we showed honor. One of the hardest things about being on a post, I was at Fort Lee, Virginia. I just hated running up and down the streets when you were off duty. with your uniform on anyway, because you always had to be looking. You had to pay attention to who was coming around you. And I remember one time we were all excited. We come out of the PX and we were headed back to the barracks. And we were running. We run right by an officer. He stopped us and had us do push-up after push-up after push-up. You know why? We did not stop, come to attention, and salute him. Respect has to be given. How much more should Jesus get our respect and get our honor and the love that we have and how we should show to him? Ephesians 1 and verse 22 says, "And God placed all things under his feet and has appointed him to be the head over all things to the church." Christ is the head of the body, the church, and we need to listen to him today. Second point, we have to engage the enemy. First of all, we have to identify who the enemy is, but then we have to engage the enemy. I found an article that said an 18-year-old, apparently, I think I've used this illustration some time back, an 18-year-old apparently took a Seattle police officer or a police car for a joyride. The theft was reported on law enforcement broadcast. A bicycle patrol officer in downtown Seattle spotted it. A police car immediately gave chase but lost sight of the stolen vehicle after pausing to check for oncoming traffic at an intersection. It was then that the second police car pulled up, thinking the stopped car was a stolen car, rammed it from behind. Two policemen in the car that had been hit thought that they were under attack, so they pulled out their guns and started shooting. A police spokesperson said the officers involved said this: "Two in the ram car and the one in the other exchanged more than 20 rounds before they discovered their mistake. They were shooting at one another." Brothers and sisters, that is not much different than some churches today. We exchange fire with each other when our dedication and our love should be winning souls to the Lord. The article goes on to say, "We Christians are at war, but we are not at war with one another. When we fight with one another, we are only helping the enemy." It goes on to say, "The devil loves church fights. We need to fight against such things by fighting against him." Then it went on to say in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Joe Louis, he became the heavyweight boxing champion of the world in 1934, and he successfully defended his title 25 times over the next 15 years. The sports voice of those days was Bill Stern. He asked Joe how he had been able to knock out his opponents so quickly in almost every fight. After a few moments, he answered this: "Two things. First, I study my opponent until I know him better than he knows himself. And second, I make a plan of attack." What is your spiritual plan of attack? And then third, and finally, we have to fight until the end. You know, too many people give up. I started out talking about rolled off the couch this morning thinking I still can. I can do four. We have to have that attitude when it comes to living a Christian life, that I'm not going to give up and I'm not going to quit. Matthew 10 and verse 22 says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." We have to fight to the very end. First thing we have to do is we have to become a Christian. We have to make up our mind that we are going to become a Christian, that we're going to dedicate our life, that we're going to surrender our life to the Lord. And we do that through our faith, our belief that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, our willingness to turn away from sin, to give up sin, to live a new life, to walk a new life, to dedicate our life to Jesus, to confess that Jesus is Lord, and then to be baptized for the remission of our sins. But yet, living a Christian life is more than becoming a Christian. We have to endure until the very end. We have to dedicate ourselves that we can continue. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight. Have we? Maybe the question will be, will we fight a good fight? We will, to our dying day, hopefully, fight that good fight. Three things just come up on the board. Obviously, as the prayer Brother Mickey prayed, we hope and we pray that God will continue to bless our country. Bless our men and women who serve this country. It's willing to fight and to die that we can have our freedoms. But God bless the veterans of a Christian life mainly. No matter what happens this week, in the election. No matter what happens next year, 10 years from now, or 100 years from now, if we're on the Lord's side, that's all that matters. It may get harder to serve. It may things come our way that is unpredictable. Matter of fact, I don't know how many of y'all watched the news this weekend, but a Henderson congregation is on the news for fighting against liquor by the drink, about liquor stores and serving it by the drink. People we know and love right here is involved with that. Standing up for what's right. It seems like the finger is being pointed right back every time someone stands up for God and stands up for the way that we should. People want us to be quiet. People want us not to have the opinion that we have. But you know, as a Christian, there's times we have to speak up. And we need to do that this week. We need to speak up this week as we go to the polls. We need to speak up this week by encouraging people how they vote and where they stand. I've never said a whole lot about politics from the pulpit. I've always made it a practice not to. But I am going to tell you this, you better think seriously about your vote. It's a very critical time. It's not just who's going to be president. It's who is he going to appoint, or she. Who's going to be making the decisions? Who's going to be interpreting the law? That's the bigger picture. So it is very serious. What part can you play? You can stand up. And you can defend God and put God first. This morning, are you a Christian? Are you unfaithful? Do you need the prayers of the church? Whatever your need may be, our prayer is that you will come while we stand and sing.